Premium smartphone video service Quibi launched this week. Does it hit the mark and will it survive? Disney Plus reached 50 million subscribers this week. Will it make its 90 million 2024 target 3 years early? Let's get started.
This week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me. Colin, how are things out there in the Bay Area? You guys bearing up with the stay-at-home guidelines?
Well, we certainly are, Will. It's I guess we're into week four now of being locked down. I don't know how many weeks you've been in lockdown, but it's certainly beginning to wear a little thin, I think, on a lot of people. I'm sure a lot of our listeners are getting pretty tired of being locked inside. But I tell you, what we're seeing out of New York is pretty sobering, isn't it?
It is sobering. It's a scary time. I just hope people are observing the lockdown guidelines as much as possible so that hopefully everybody's contributing to getting past this as soon as we can. But we are continuing to record here remotely, Colin, neither of us traveling. So we have a couple of topics today. We want to talk a little bit about Disney Plus and them and the service hitting the 50 million paid subscriber milestone. And then we're going to talk about Quibi a little bit, which launched officially earlier this week.
Yeah, so why don't we get started with Disney, Will? I think you wrote about the big announcement this week of subscriber numbers. So tell us what you heard.
Yeah, I'm impressed. The announcement from Disney was very simple and straightforward, saying Disney Plus has 50 million subscribers now. And so make your own conclusions, basically. And my conclusion is I'm pretty impressed. I think it's well, the facts are that it's been available for less than 5 months. So the service has gone from zero to 50 million paid subscribers in less than 5 months. And I think that would be impressive by any yardstick. What also I thought was impressive was that Disney has basically given two updates, including this one this week, that the 50 million point, but another one previously on February 3rd about having 28.6 million subscribers at that point. And what I did was I tried to calculate for those two periods, so from launch day November 13th through the February 3rd reporting date, and then from February 4th through the subsequent reporting date, which I considered April 7th, the day before the announcement. And if you look at those two periods, what's remarkable is that they are basically identical in terms of the average number of new subscribers that Disney Plus has added. So in that first reporting period from November 13th to February 3rd, 84 days, they added an average of about 340,000 subscribers. And obviously we don't know what it was on any given day, but that was the straight average across the 84 days. If you look at the second reporting period from February 4th to April 7th, which included approximately 64 days, then it would be an average of about 334,000 subscribers added on a daily basis. So that's just a 1.8% average daily decline, which you might as well just call flat. And I think that's pretty impressive considering that those were two extremely different periods of time. The launch period included all the upfront marketing and promotional stuff that they did, the holiday period, all the sort of pent-up interest in Disney Plus. The second period, the February 4th to April 7th, it included the international expansion, and they actually accelerated the international expansion in the European countries by a couple of weeks. But it was sort of it had to have been meaningfully offset by the fact that the parks were closed for a good chunk of March, and the parks, as they've said in the past, were a critical source of promotion for Disney Plus. They were closed due to the virus. The other, another important channel was the free year for new Verizon subscribers. And you sort of have to believe that with everybody hunkering down, that the number of new Verizon subscribers has also diminished during this stay-at-home period. And then conversely, of course, all these hundreds of millions of people are now staying home with lots of time on their hands. And then there are, especially the kids, of course, that are looking for things to do. And we know from all the data that streaming video has surged as a result of that. So you have to figure that there's some improvement in Disney Plus's retention rate. And you also, I think, have to assume that new subscriber acquisitions are artificially increased a little bit as well as a result of people staying home. But that's a lot of different cross currents to deal with. And it's just sort of, I think it's sort of remarkable that through all of that, all those different cross currents, the average daily subscriber growth has remained almost flat on average across these first 5 months, basically. So that's one thing that really caught my eye. And the other thing that caught my eye is that Disney Plus is so far ahead of forecast right now. It's to the point of being ridiculous. And you kind of wonder whether there might have been a little bit of sandbagging that went on in the original forecast. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But the original forecast that Disney issued back on the investor day in April of 2019, so about a year ago, is that they expected 60 to 90 million subscribers by the end of their fiscal year 2024, which is September of 2024. That's 4.5 years away, 60 to 90 million. They're already at 50 million as of yesterday. And so if they continued adding at the average rate again of about 300,000 subscribers per day, which is about 10 million a month, then they're going to blow through that forecast very, very soon. And you've got to be impressed by that, Colin, right?
Well, certainly I am impressed. But I got to tell you, Will, I think they were sandbagging on the numbers a bit. Because I remember I was asked how many subscribers I thought Disney would get just before it released in the US. And I think I said something like I thought they would get 10 million before Christmas. And the person, I forget who it was who asked me, but basically the person who asked me that thought I was crazy. They thought they wouldn't get anything like that. But it just goes to prove the power of the Disney brand. It is probably one of the most well-known brands in the world and continues to produce really top-notch content. And the opportunity for people to get their hands on the Marvel movies and the Star Wars movies and the Pixar stuff, I think is just irresistible, particularly at this time. And let's just remember, the releases in Europe have really been pretty much timed exactly when all of the shelter at home orders have come into force in Europe. So people are really anxious for escapism, who wouldn't be? And the price of Disney Plus is so attractive. Well, it's a fairly easy ad, I think. At least if people want to watch something for the next couple of months, then it's probably one of the cheapest ways to go to get the best quality content in the world, right?
Absolutely. And, it's easy to look in hindsight and say, oh, they must have been sandbagging. But on the other hand, there were a lot of variables involved with this launch. And I don't think that anything about the execution can be taken for granted. I think the 50 million in part reflects how well they have executed the launch, not just in the US, but in other countries, the aggressive pricing, the quality of the content, the operations, all the promotions, et cetera, everything else. It's just been very impressive. It looks a little maybe easy in retrospect, but you've got to believe that there was a lot of hard work and a lot of coordination that went into getting them to this point. And I think they were smart to this was the Walt Disney's own personal mantra, I think, was under promise and over deliver, right?
Oh, you bet. And don't misinterpret what I just said, Will, in that I was saying that they did a bad job in execution. They did not. It's been exemplary execution, I think. And anybody that's wanting to launch a major service like this should look to Disney and look at how Disney did it, because I think it's pretty amazing. But I think the biggest red flag I see ahead for Disney is the one that I think we've talked about before on the show, and that is new show flow. And when we start to reemerge from our homes, we are all going to be facing something, a depression, or certainly a recession, but possibly a depression. There's going to be a lot of belt tightening going on. And if Disney isn't able to continue to provide new content, new quality content in the service, I think that is going to be a huge problem. And the problem for Bob Iger now, because he's really turned to face to be really focused on this area now since he stepped down from CEO, is his hands are tied somewhat, Will, because all production has basically come ground to a halt because of coronavirus. Then he really cannot produce anything new, and that's really going to hit him in, let's say 3 to 6 months is when that is really going to bite. And that's when people have had plenty of time to eat their way through all of the popular movies that are in the library and all of the popular shows that are in the library. And that's when I think things could get really tough. And look, looking at data, it's pretty clear that it's all about the content and all about the newer content, the content flow that keeps people in a service. So that's when I think things are gonna get really tough for Disney. However, in the interim, I think there's a good chance that they may well blow through their 90 million target in the next year. Next year.
All right, so you're getting even more optimistic despite your concern about the content flow, which I think, by the way, is a very legitimate point. There's no question. One of the things that lessons I think we've learned from Netflix is that constant flow of new high-quality programming is so important to keep not only subscribers retained, but new ones coming in for these really buzzworthy shows. So Disney Plus still has something to prove on that front, but starting with a base of 50 million, that's a nice place to start within 5 months.
It is a nice place to start indeed. And you're right to mention Netflix. Netflix is a company that I think Ted Sarandos said that they're dropping about 35 shows a week, new shows a week into the service. That's a worldwide basis, of course. So some of those, quite a few of those are foreign content. But they're also finding pretty good audiences in the Americas. So, that's a tough thing to follow, I think, to keep up with for Disney. That's going to take a lot of production, a lot of money, and as I say, I'm really concerned that right now, that it doesn't matter how much money they've got, they just can't produce. So that's going to be tough.
Well, we'll find out. But meanwhile, this week was, as we mentioned earlier, also saw the long-awaited launch of Quibi, and there were, I would argue, some unfair comparisons being drawn between Quibi's initial launch and this mega launch that we've seen from Disney Plus. But that aside, you have some various thoughts on Quibi so far and what you think is going to happen with it going forward.
I sure do. And really, if you're listening to this and you haven't tried Quibi, there really is no reason not to try it. So
Right. It's free.
It's free for 90 days. Put it on your phone, have a look at the content yourself, and make up your own mind about what you think about the content. But I don't really want to talk about the content. I will mention the experience. I think is pretty good. The interface is really well designed. It's actually very easy to find stuff. I have watched a couple of the shows, and they were somewhat interesting. But I have to say, I'm not in the target audience for those shows. I did run into some problems. I was having actually problems streaming when I first started, although I think that has been alleviated. I think there was an outage on the first day, which was when I downloaded it, and I was having a lot of problems with buffering and just logging back into the service. And those all seem to have been cleared up now, although I will still say I think it's pretty slow. There are long gaps between when the ads are being served up often, which is something that they need to work on. And also, a very odd thing happened. When you sign up for Quibi, you tell them if you're male or female.
Yes.
The first ad I was served up was for a deodorant for women.
Oh, God. So, ouch.
I'm thinking, well, that's a bit odd. But anyway. I'm recently positive about the service in the short term. Actually, you could say I'm quite positive. I think there's a substantial chance that millions of people will sign up for this, maybe tens of millions. And the reason is simple. It's free. You just stick it on your smartphone. People are looking for new content right now, looking for distractions right now. And as we saw from the Unruly data, which both you and I wrote about, Unruly says that there's been a huge increase in the usage of smartphones. I think they asked people, people in the 18 to 44 year age range how much more they were using their smartphones. And 83% roughly in that age range said that they were using it either more or a lot more, and that was the highest of any of the screens. So that's all to the good, I think, for Quibi. So I think they will pick up a lot of subscribers in a very short time. However, that said, I think that long term, the prospects are pretty bleak, and I've got three really short reasons for that. First is content flow. They are going to be hit just as Disney Plus is being hit, and actually all of the SVOD services, every entertainment service is being hit by the production stoppage due to the coronavirus problem. So that is going to be a problem, a really big problem for Quibi because of this 90-day free trial. They've really, you know, that's enough time for this content slowdown to really bite. One assumes that they've got a bunch of stuff in the hopper ready to go. But, you know, they've got to be dumping a lot of episodes into this service. And I got a feeling in 90 days that that's going to be incredibly hard, particularly for scripted. I got a feeling that scripted is going to dry up within that 90-day period. Within that 90-day period, we are going to see the appearance of Peacock. That's actually impending very, very soon. It's going to be released to Comcast Xfinity One and Flex customers on April 15th, and then it goes national July 15th. Again, that's within that 90-day window. Lots of buzzworthy content. HBO Max could muddy it as well. That's going out later in May. I'm less concerned about that being big competition for Quibi because the price of HBO Max is $15 a month, which is quite a bit more. And the reason $15 a month matters so much, and my third reason why I think Quibi could be in for a rough ride towards the end of the year is just consumer purse tightening. We are definitely going to see that, whether we have a recession or a depression. There's a lot of people out of work right now, and they'll be looking to pinch pennies anywhere they can. And, one of the stated goals of Quibi was to displace social media viewing. Well, that's social media viewing is free. So if it comes down to it and I want to save money, saving $5 on Quibi and going back to watching social media is probably a very soft landing, if you like, from watching Quibi content. So anyway, what do you think? Did you take a look at the service?
I did take a look at the service, and I didn't really find any shows that really grabbed me right away. Again, as you said before, we're older than the target audience, so that may not be a fair perspective. I thought the app itself worked perfectly fine. It was clean. It was very nice. No issue with that. I still don't understand for the life of me why they don't have a connected TV app, because especially for longer form content that's being cut into chapters, which is what Quibi's model is, there are some people that will just want to sit down and binge watch the entire show or multiple shows or an entire movie. And it just seems too restrictive to me to have to have them watch it in chapters on a mobile phone. My guess is we're going to see a CTV app from them at some point in the future. But I agree with you on certainly on the purse tightening, the belt tightening that you described due to the economy. certainly the competition, the other idea of competing against all this free stuff that's out there already on social media, and thinking about TikTok and Snapchat and Instagram, the list, YouTube, the list just goes on and on and on of free content that's out there for people that have just a little bit of time on their hands to waste, wherever it is that they find themselves having that time to waste, choosing to pay for something instead of just availing themselves of whatever's free. That seems like an awfully high bar.
It does to me too, Will. And, you know, I've got to believe that services like Netflix, Disney Plus, those are keepers, at least in the short term for Disney Plus. And Netflix, well, you know, it's going to be really difficult to dislodge Netflix. It's very clear that Netflix usage has grown pretty dramatically over the last few weeks. And so I got a feeling that Quibi's going to have a tough time unseating them.
Yeah, the other thing also that caught my attention, I don't know if you've watched any, either of the episodes of Some Good News with John Krasinski's new show, but it's not only is it really funny, but it's also just another example of how really good, compelling content can be made relatively inexpensively. And so that, I think, challenges the Quibi notion that you have to get a whole bunch of A-list stars and pay a whole bunch of money in order to create quality content. The internet is fickle that way. Since the beginning of time, I think we've seen that there can be really good content created at relatively low cost. And again, that's what Quibi's going to be constantly competing against, is just this abundance of free content that is still compelling in the eyes of the audience.
That's right. And, you know, all the reports I've seen about YouTube viewing, that's gone through the roof as well. And, you know, as we said, as I mentioned with that unruly data, the smartphone is perfect for that. When you want to snack, when you want to get a little bit of uplift, then that's the place when I think people are going. And I have to say, you know, the two shows that I watched this week, which were Flipped and The Most Dangerous Game, I watched a couple of episodes of each, and I watched some of the NBC News. And I haven't gone back in the last day or two, which is telling, right? Because if it was really compelling, I would have found time, or when I had an idle moment, I would have gone back. And now, again, I'm not the target audience. They've said that millennials, 18 to 34s or 32s or other, are really the target for this service. Be interesting to see if they really do flock in significant numbers to watch it, use it, and stick with it. But I got a feeling that it's going to be tough.
Yeah, Quibi needs a CTV app, and they need a free layer of content that's completely free and ad-supported as an on-ramp.
That's a great point, Will. A free tier for Quibi, I think, will probably be an adjustment that they make later. And certainly they can make the adjustment to support connected TVs, and they should make that adjustment because, as you say, people want to binge watch. And I saw several tweets where people were really complaining about the fact that, well, heck, I want to share this with my spouse or my significant other, and I can't do that because of the not being able to share. I will say, though, I am very impressed with the way you when you flip the phone around to vertical mode.
Yeah, it's cool.
That is well done, and that's a great example of how it should be done, I think, on a smartphone. So anyway, I guess we'll see if they can continue to drop some really great content in there and drive subscribers or get people in the short term.
Sounds good, Colin. Well, listen, we're about out of time here, so stay safe and stay well. Hopefully all of our listeners also stay safe and stay well. And we thank you for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News and Screen Media Podcast. We'll see you next week.